the words you just sang, how great is our God? Now that could be a question. You could put a question mark after that. How great is our God? But I don't think of it that way, and we don't sing it that way, and it's not meant to be that way in this song. It's meant to have an exclamation point after it. How great is our God? It's a proclamation. It's an exclamation. It is telling heaven what is in our heart, that God is great, and God is good, and God is for us. This is the way we should live our life. And you also sang this, how great is our God? And if we live that way, if we live in that exclamation of how great is our God, if we live with that as our mindset, the next word said, and all the world will see. Because if we live our faith outside of ourselves, then all of the world will see also how great is our God. And that's the challenge. And I always go back to evangelism. It is the role and the mission of the church. It's to go and make disciples. Isn't that a beautiful thought, Ashley? Here's the idea that if we live outside of ourselves, somebody notices that. Somebody's life is impacted and affected. And because of that, then they will also see how great our God is. They will know what we know. They will have what we have. But it starts with how we choose to live our life. So I'm going to ask you to join me at the altar today or wherever you choose to pray. And I just want to pray for that collective mission. Our individual mission fields, we all have them. Who goes somewhere, like anywhere, when you leave here? Show of hands, who goes somewhere? You go somewhere. Now, some of you go to exotic, fancy, schmancy places, but we all go somewhere. And I bet that the places that you go, we all share this in common, there are people there wherever you go. And I would also, I'm not going out on a limb, I don't think, but people that you're going to find when you go to the places that you're going to go, some of them, maybe most of them, maybe all of them, they don't know about your God and how great He is. So what would it be like in your individual mission field if you left here and went to the, y'all raised your hand, I go somewhere. And wherever it is that you go, that, well, you take the Lord and the light of God with you into those places. What might that look like? You just can't live your life in a bubble, in a vacuum. You just can't live your life with blinders on. You just can't go through life doing the things that you do, whether it is your places of employment or school, wherever it is, and just go about life. Well, I've got work to do today. And ignore all the people that are around you that need to know who God is. I would say this, the most important thing you can do on your job is to bring God into that space while you're doing your job. Oh, you're going to be the greatest at whatever it is that you do, but oh my goodness, God would say, I've put you here to be a light for me. Oh, you can put together the widgets or whatever it is that you do at the place you work, and you could be the best at that, but God has positioned each one of us, the places we go, take Him with us. That's why we go to the places we go. That would be what He would want each of you to think as we're going through life. So I'm going to pray for that for you, and I'm going to pray that for us as a collective body, that we link arm in arm and we go and make disciples and we get to do it together. You see, we have power individually, but my goodness, when we link arms together as a body of believers, is how God designed His body, the church, we're exponentially stronger. This is what we're meant to do. Go. Go. As you go, make disciples. We have nothing else to do. That's the purpose of life. And along the way, as we're making disciples, yeah, we're going to raise a family. I hope you're discipling your family. And we're going to do a lot of great things and make an impact in our community, but that's secondary to what God would want you to do with your life. Go and make disciples. Church, so I want us to pray together just for that this morning. The mission set forth to all of us. It's not just Pastor Steve. It's everyone. Because we all go to places. Are you going to join my wife and I at this altar? You can. Wherever you choose to pray, just remember where you are. Beautiful sanctuary, yes, but no. The Holy of Holies, you've been invited in. This is a holy moment. Jesus died on a cross so you could enter into the very presence of the Lord God. This is holy. Allow him to speak to you. And be bold enough to listen. All right, I want to continue in this series of sermons called The World versus the Word. The world will speak, and it has a voice, and it has an agenda. It wants to speak certain things into our life and into our heart. And this morning, I want us to continue on in this discovery of what the world might want to tell us and contrast that to what God might have to say about the same thing found in his word. I think it's pretty easy to get caught up in what the world has to say because it's loud and it's 24/7 and it's all around us. And it's a loud voice. And I told you that I just spent a few moments outside just this morning and I was just quiet. And the only sound I really heard was the rustling of leaves and the chirping of birds. Now that's a beautiful moment of God speaking. It's quite a contrast, just that alone, between something small but yet beautiful and magnificent compared to the voice that the world has. I want you to know this, the world will lie to you. It will lie. This morning I want to do something a little different. I want to give the world part credit. It's almost right about this. It is right from its perspective, but there's more. The world would say this to you, you only live once. You only live once. So therefore, clink, let's raise our glasses and make the most of life and just whoop it up and enjoy ourselves and have the best time of our life. Because after all, we only go once around the merry-go-round. We only live one time. We only have X number of years, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever it is, it's finite. We have one life to live. And the world would say, since you only have one life to live, it's okay to live it to the fullest. Live it up. Do whatever it is that you have to do to gratify yourself, to self-satisfy. No matter what it is, you owe it to yourself because you only live once. Make the most of it. Nobody would blame you if you did whatever it was that you felt like you had to do to be happy, to be satisfied. Oftentimes, here's what happens. There are several things that happen because of this mentality. One thing that happens is, well, we turn to things that will never really satisfy. We turn to inappropriate relationships. We turn to the chase and the pursuit of wealth. We turn to addictive things like drugs and alcohol and food. We turn to things that we think in the moment are going to self-satisfy because after all, we have to be satisfied because we only live once. The world will say you only live once. It's okay to do that thing that you do, whatever it is, because you'll feel better. And it's okay. You have one life. You have one life to live. We all share that in common. You have one life to live, so make the most of it. But here's what ends up happening when you approach life with that philosophical idea that it's finite and you only live once, so therefore you better live it up. Here's what happens is you turn inward and you make life only about yourself because if it is only 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, and that's it, the lights go out and you're done, if that's all there is, then I think it would be okay to just have a good time. But life is meant to be lived outside of ourselves because there's more. But when you live with the I'm going to live it up until it's the end of my time mentality, you turn inward and you live only for yourself. This is what happens. Maybe you don't intentionally do that, but over time, you will turn inward and you make life all about yourself, your motives, your priorities, the goals. Everything that you want to do is to self-satisfy. It is to get yourself ahead. You wake up every morning and think, how can I get ahead? How can I get a leg up? How can I get one rung up higher on the ladder, because it is that is going to satisfy me, that success that I'm reaching for. How can I propel myself farther up while I'm pushing people down? Because after all, life is about me. Brother Rick Warren, who started Saddleback Church, said this about us. Very transparent. He said, you need to get over yourself because life isn't about you. It's not about you. Get over yourself, because that's what humanity is taught to believe by the world, that life is about us, because after all, we only have one life. You better live it to the fullest, and we're trapped and we're stuck into thinking that we better make the most of it at anybody else's expense. I see people, and as a pastor, I have the beautiful privilege and sometimes the unbelievable heartache of being with people when they breathe their last, whether it's in a living room or a nursing home or a hospital. And I can tell you that there's a difference between a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of their life and somebody who's living their life trapped in the cycle of just trying to grab and experience more and to self-satisfy, because they realize that they're at the end and there is a frantic atmosphere. They just want to just keep a hold of life because they believe that this is all there is. And I sadly have watched people just go kicking and screaming out of this world because they believe that there's nothing else. And maybe toward the end of the life, they realize that they look back on their life and they realize, my goodness, all I have done with my life is lived it for myself. What a sad existence. It's just sad. I don't want anyone to come to the end of their life and think, did I only spend my life with me? And here's what happens. There will never be a moment where we're satisfied if we're trying to only chase after the things that are going to make us happy. That we're going to live in this anxiousness. That wasn't the thing that satisfied. So I reached to the next thing, and that wasn't the thing. And I reached for the next thing, and that wasn't the thing. And we're going to live in this anxiousness, and we'll never be satisfied. We may acquire things along the way. We may have a family. We may have a career. We may have wealth. We may have all the things that the world would say, that's a successful life. But when we honestly look in the mirror, we realize that everything, anything that we've accomplished wasn't the thing that satisfied. Because the mentality is, you only live once, live it for yourself. On the front of your bulletin, this is what I've been asking Sherry to do. So in the upper left-hand corner is the world, what the world has to say. And in the bottom right-hand corner, I've asked her to put what the Word has to say. And this morning, I thought I would just be so clever. And Sherry probably thought, oh, brother. What the world has to say is, you only live once. What the Word has to say is, you only live once. But there's an asterisk. But it's forever. The world is wrong when they think that, well, you live once and that's it. Finito. So they got it partly right. We do only live once. But the Word of God teaches us that we live forever. Oh, we live once, but we live forever. When King David wrote that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, he's right. Can I extend that? I think it's okay. We are fearfully and wonderfully and eternally made. We are designed by God to live forever, somewhere, somewhere. You see, some along the narrow road will live forever with him. Most along the wide road will live forever separated from him and apart from him. That is the truth about all of us. We are designed to live forever. And my prayer is that for us, that we live in such a way that when our 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years is up, that we live forevermore with him. And Jesus speaks into this. And he speaks into this in such a way that kind of unlocks the secret to what we might experience on the other side of this life. And because of what we might experience on the other side of this life, it should show us how we are to live on this side of life if we're going to experience that later. It's rather simple. You might even guess this, but I want you to turn, guess what? It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus. I love the Sermon on the Mount. Everything you want to know about living a Christian life, being a disciple of Christ, is found in three chapters in the Bible. Jesus lays almost everything we would need to know out in these three chapters. So beautifully. Jesus is going to use an illustration that we know very well, but he's going to use this illustration about chasing after something that the world would say is going to be the thing that will satisfy you, wealth. But it's more than just chasing after wealth. It's chasing after anything other than God that will self-satisfy. Nothing in this world will satisfy us other than God. If you have your word, you can turn with me to the sixth chapter. It's just three verses. I'm going to start with verse 19 in chapter 6. You can stand. You can raise your hands. You can close your eyes. However you want to honor the Lord in the reading of his word. But remember, these words are his words. And the words of Jesus, so they're read. They're not Pastor Steve's words. This is what he has to say. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Jesus says to us, don't get caught in the trap. Don't be thinking that this life is all there is, because if this life is all there is, you will be in the cycle of seeking after, and it will never satisfy you. You will want to gather treasures. You'll want to store them up. You will want wealth and health and fame, and you will want things that are going to satisfy you, and you will always be on a quest to store up here the things that are going to satisfy you. But Jesus would say those things are temporary. They're worthless anyway, but they will rot and decay and destroy, and thieves will steal. You will never have satisfaction in the things that your heart will chase after. Don't get caught up in that trap. Rather, Jesus says to do something else. Store up for yourself treasures, not on earth, but in heaven. Now, can I just give you two thoughts? And I'm going to give you two treasures that I think Jesus is speaking about when he says, store up for you treasures in heaven. What it might be like to have a treasure trove in heaven. What that might be. Two things. Oh, and I'm not going to be limited here in my thinking, because I think God has so many amazing things waiting in store for us, but I have thought of two, and I go back to what Jesus said one day when he was being pursued by the Pharisees. You know, they were always trying to trap him. And they said to him one day, they said, "Teacher, what is the..." Isn't it interesting that we'd call him that? "Teacher, we don't really want to learn from you, but I'm going to call you that. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment, the greatest law?" And Jesus said, "Well, here it is. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And he goes on to say that all of the commandments and all of the law is wrapped up in these things. We get this right and this right, we will just naturally, as a byproduct, fulfill all the law and the commandments. But he said these two things, and I just want to just land here because I think of these two things as unbelievable treasures. We're thinking about storing treasures up in heaven. What might be waiting for us? Let's just go back to this moment when Jesus said the greatest thing you could do with your life are these two things. Fall head over heels in love with me. That's the first thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, with all of your entirety, fall in love with me. Everything you have, everything you are, give it to me. Fall head over heels in love with me. Don't love your boyfriend more than me. Don't love your wife more than me. Don't love your mama more than me. Don't love anybody more than me. Fall in love with me. I think for a lot of Christians, I think the extent of their relationship with the Lord God is, I go to church and I read my Bible and sometimes, I pray over my nuggets. And I'll occasionally say, "God bless you," when somebody sneezes. That's a testimony, Pastor. And then they just go out and live life and they try to be a good person. And I think for a lot of people, that's just their extent of their relationship with God. But I think that's not a treasure. I think if you were head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, I think all of those other things just are naturally done. It's easy. It really is easy. Then to come to church, to read your Bible, because my goodness, you're going to want to read God's Word. It is easy then to pray outside of yourself and pray for other people's needs. It is easy if you love Him. It's hard otherwise. Everything else just becomes natural. If you put water in the freezer, it becomes ice. I don't know how that happens, but it just happens because it's just natural. It will happen if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You fall head over heels in love with Him. If that is where your heart is, that is your treasure here on earth, all those other things just happen naturally, and it's easy. You take that ice out, you put it on the counter, it becomes water again. My goodness, God is awesome, isn't He? It's just natural. But it's so hard to do it the other way around. It is so hard. How can we live like Christ? How can we truly serve other people? How can we truly help people and care for them unless we love Jesus first? We'll survive for like a minute and a half and then we're done. And guess what? We'll be trapped again in the cycle of living for ourselves. Store up treasures in heaven. If you're head over heels in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, if He is the thing that you love more than anything else, I think you could testify to how awesome that is. Right here, in your existence, humanity, in that vertical relationship with Him, it's awesome. Right, Bill? It's awesome. Loving Him is amazing. But don't you think that when we all get to heaven, the one that you love with all of your heart, when you are made complete... Look, I don't know what that relationship and that dynamic will be like, but I know what it's like here. And if you could imagine how good it is here, just imagine in heaven when you're perfected and you're able to love completely, what that relationship would be like. That's a treasure. That is a treasure worth holding on to.
store up treasures in heaven, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with Him eternally, the one that I love with all of my heart, the one that I've given my life to serve, would be so much better when I'm face to face with Him. That's a treasure that is waiting each one of us if we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. I don't know what it'll be like, but I know it's beyond my level of understanding, and even in my wildest imagination, could I imagine what it'll be like? But I know it's going to be amazing. That treasure is worth whatever it is that we do here to store that up. It isn't about me. Life is not about me. It's about Him, falling in love with Him. Oh, the other treasure. Oh, this is just as good. Because Jesus said this. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Now, He didn't just say love your neighbor. That's hard enough. Yikes. And who's your neighbor? Who do you think he meant when he said love your neighbor? Your family? Your actual neighbor? Everybody? Are you kidding me? There's 8 billion everybody's. Even, wow, it's like you were here last week. Even the enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know about you, but most of humanity, man, they look in the mirror, ooh, I love you, I love you. Jesus said to love everyone as much or more than you love you, as yourself. And the only way you can do that, is you can't do that just because Pastor says to do that. There's only one way. You have to be supernaturally changed. Because it takes a supernatural love to love, I would say, anyone, but especially everyone. It takes a supernatural love to love your neighbor as yourself and your enemies. And that only happens when we get that right. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ first. Can we ever have the capacity to love anyone, especially everyone, as much as we love ourselves? What changes when we truly love everyone? We live life not for ourselves, and we don't have to think in a finite way. We no longer are thinking like that. We're no longer thinking, well, I got 60 or 70 or 80, 90 years. I'm thinking eternally now, and what is it that I have to do to make sure that these little treasures that are around me go to heaven with me? And you live your life with this open heart and this open mind. And you live completely different that way because everyone you see is a treasure that you can store up in heaven. Because here's what I think might happen one day when we all get to heaven, Bill. Here's what I think might happen. I think the Lord might say, come with me, Bill, and let me show you. Let me show you all the people that are here or the people that will be here one day because of you. Because you've stored up treasure in heaven. You love them like I've loved them. And they're going to be with you forever. Nothing's going to change that. It will not rot. It will not decay. Thieves won't break in and steal that. You will have that for eternity. You'll have Him. And you'll have your family. That's a treasure. The world would say you only live once. Live it up. The word would say, you only live once, but it's a mighty long time. So prepare for that by loving me and loving others. And that brings me glory. And that's why I gave you life. Jim and his worship team are going to come. They're going to close us. And I just want you to hear the words of Jesus again. Do not store up treasures here on earth. Whatever it is that we're chasing pales in comparison to what He might have on your heart. Put me first and put others second, and then just wait and see what I have waiting for you on the other side. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Jim. You see this little one?
She's so beautiful, looks nothing like her paps. If I'm incapable of loving my Father, if I'm incapable of loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I can't love her the way God would want me to love her. And that doesn't give her what she needs. Okay, church, fall in love with him. And this is how you'll feel about everybody. And that'll make a difference for them. You want to go to heaven? It's up to us to help each other get there. Amen? Okay, church, you are sent.